The ones that's not even saved. And that's good. But, you know, I know a whole lot of preachers and everything, they'll go out and say, well, you need to go out and invite this and that. But it's what it's for is the people in the church. It's in the local church that's holding the revival. It's for the people there. And not only that, it's the people in the surrounding of the church and everything that don't come maybe once a year or sometimes like that. They'll come for Easter Sunday, and they'll come for maybe for the cantata and stuff like that at Christmas time, but yet they don't want to be in God's house. They don't want to be around God's people any other time. Now, you know, the lady that come in tonight, I mean, I don't know what I need to her, but she said they was traveling to Texas. And she just come in and asked me, you know, to have special prayer, and I did. And we had prayer for her. But the thing, you know, and I know that she probably wanted to get on the road and everything, but I don't know. It's just like that some people today, and I'm not saying that she is one of them, but people today, they don't realize how much God can really help them. And a whole lot of times people look to God like, hey, well, God, you know, you've got your blessings in your Bible and in the book. It's promises all through the Bible. And it is. It's promises for each and every one of us. But we need to also remember that not only the book is filled with promises, but for us to receive them promises is another thing. We can't go out here and live the life that we want to live and receive God's blessings. That's not the way God works. And I don't think, it's not that he don't want to work, but we don't allow him to work because we have other things on our mind and other things that's on our heart. But we need to remember that revival is meant for us. Just like the Jubilee. I mean, when the Jubilee comes about, really, it's mainly for us. It's here. And I do thank the Lord for all the others that come. I thank the Lord for the preachers that come and all the visitors and everything. But I just wish that people, they would remember one thing. That it's not for us to go out and call it lost and get the lost in, but it's revival is meant for us to be stronger in him, to where we can go out and visit the lost and tell the lost about Jesus Christ. And then we're supposed to go out and we're supposed to invite them in to the local church. But a whole lot of people, I think they got everything, well, they got their own ideas about it. But God's word says, hey, we enter into his house to what? Worship. That's what we come to church for. That's the reason I'm here tonight, is to worship him. And I hope and pray that's the reason you're here tonight. You come tonight to hear something from heaven that will bring joy to your heart, and you can experience the blessings that God has given you, and you can do it in God's house. But tonight, when we leave this church, we go out there, and once we go out them doors and get in an automobile and we start driving home, once we go out them doors, we're entering into a field. We're entering into a marketplace where people today are hurting. This is the, well, you know, we can call this our emergency room for the sick. And they're sin sick. Yeah, they're sin sick. But we need to remember also that it's failures that will come our way also. And the failures that will come our way is because of the things that we don't do. And we need to be revived. I need to have revival. I just need to hear some good preaching from somebody else. And I know that you do too. We all need that. We all need a fresh anointing from on high. We need a refreshing a feeling that only God can give us, and He can give us that when we go to an whole revival or when we go to a revival. Here lately, I ain't been able to go to many revivals. And it's not because I don't want to. Yeah, I love to go. But my wife and my daughter, they're not going to let me go by myself. And because they know that I'll have to drive. And I can understand that. I can understand that. But even though for the last 2 weeks, there's been two revivals, and one evangelist has been at both revivals. He preached both revivals. And I'd love to go in here, because he's probably about 27, 28 years old. But I'll tell you one thing, he's a fireball. He is a fireball preacher. And I'm going to, Lord willing, I'm going to try to see if I can get him down here 1 week. But I'm not going to, and I know that sometimes some people say that, why do we have to have a five-night revival? Well, I think the reason for it is because it's going to take more than 3 nights to get rid of all the dead weight that we've carried and the dead weight that we are carrying around, because we're not immune to sin. We are in sin each and every day in the people that we are around. But we need to trust the Lord. If we trust the Lord, the Lord will send a revival to us. And I believe He's on the edge of really sending a revival. And I believe this also, the reason he even spoke to me about this message tonight about revival. And it's got 7 points in it, but I'm not going to get past 1 point tonight. Because I believe if we continue trusting the Lord, and we are, I am, and I know that you are that are here tonight. You know how I know that you're going to continue trusting the Lord? It's because you're here. Because you're here and you're a member of Faith Baptist Church. I can myself, I don't even have to come and ask you what you would love for this church. What would you love for God to do for this church? And God's already meeting the needs. Because of no more than what we have here. I mean, to end up supporting about 18 missionaries. And then not only that, being able to pay off. I mean, not pay off, but pay the bills each and every month. And not have to worry about, Are we going to have enough money to pay for this or that? As long as we continue supporting missionary, God is going to continue supporting this church. But when we get away from supporting the missionaries, then God's going to get away from supporting us. Now, I have trusted the Lord, and I know that you are. You're trusting the Lord for the Lord to send an outpouring of His Spirit through revival, through revival. And through that revival would open our hearts and open our eyes and open our ears as we go out and serve Him. See, we come in to worship Him and to thank Him for everything He's done for us that week, but yet then we go out the doors to serve Him. And how do we serve Him? Doing what He started long time ago, going out and telling people about the Father, telling people about the love that the Father had for them, and the people, and the love that He had for them too. And then He said, "Not my will, but thy Father's, my Father's will be done. Not my will, but my Father's will." That's what I want done. I want my Father's will to be done. Now, we're here. I want the Savior's will to be done in my life. And I know if I get to that point in my life that I allow the Savior to do what He needs to do in my life and to bring me down to bring me down to my knees at times. He needs to bring me down to my knees at times. He needs to bring me down to where I have to look up, and when I look up, I can hear His voice. But over here in where the scripture I'm getting it from tonight is over here in Habakkuk chapter 3 in verse 1 and 2. And it says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, unto Sanganoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid, O Lord. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. We have the word there. We have two words there. The first one is wrath. We have to remember that, yes, God has His wrath that He will pour on the people that will not obey Him and will not truly trust Him. But we also has His mercy. And I do thank God for His mercy. Because if it wasn't for His mercy, I could not even stand here tonight before you. And if it wasn't for the mercy of God, you wouldn't be here tonight. But in all of that, it says, revive thy work. Revive thy work. His work needs to be revived. I tell you, it really does. The Bible I got now is so new, it's so new, the pages are sticking on me. But yeah, Habakkuk is right before Zebediah and right after Nahum. It's one book that where we really don't get into a whole lot, but hey, but it is a good book. This book right here, really, if we get into it and study the whole book, we'll come to find out that it's speaking about today. This, I think the book of Habakkuk is really speaking more about today than any other book, because it tells us in what this world is up against. It tells us in what we must do. But he says, revive thy work in the midst of the years. I believe what he's saying is that I want you to revive the work that you've set me to do. And he has set us there to do a work. And that work, yes, it will bring wrath. If we don't do the work, yes, God's wrath will be on us. But just think about it. If we do God's work, then his mercy is on us also. Because he will give us the grace. He will give us the knowledge. He will give us the willpower to be able to speak out here to someone. God, even myself, I mean, I love going out and meeting people. But when I go out and meet somebody, if I just don't start out all of a sudden talking to them, then I'm going to end up not saying hardly anything to them. But I've got to start off in speaking. And when I start off talking to them, I'm going to bring the Lord up. And we need to. We need to go up because there are people out here that is hurting. They're in bondage. There are people out here, we don't see the tears, but if we could look on the inside of them, we could see the tears flowing. Why? Because of the things that they know that they're going to face. And a whole lot of them are going to face them situations alone. They don't have mama and daddy. They don't have nobody else to face them. You know, it was just like when I was working at Daniel Chrysler Plymouth. And I've told you this story before. But when he come in that afternoon, on a Friday afternoon, and he said, Donnie says, the Lord told me at lunchtime that I need to get rid of you. Well, if I didn't have it, Lord, I'd have gotten my truck and I'd have left. And I'd have called him every name in the book and everything. But see, I had the Lord with me. And the Lord gave me the peace by it. But then when I got home and I parked the truck, and then when I started on the car porch and everything, and when I got to the door to go into the house there, she opened the door for me. And when she opened the door, she knew something was wrong. I hadn't even spoke. She knew something was wrong. I just lost my job. I said, I ain't worried about it. She said, you ain't? I said, nope. God placed me there. God placed me somewhere else. I definitely believe that if the people would realize some things, if they would just come in and forget about everything else in the world, forget about their the friends that they hang around with, forget about the work environment that they're around, and they forget about Walmart, and forget about Sam's and Target, and forget about all this stuff, but come to the house of the Lord with one thing and one thing only. So, Lord, I come this morning. Bless me if you don't mind. And if they're not saved, the Lord will bless them. The Lord will bless them by the presence of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will be upon them, lead them to the altar, and then they can get saved. If they come with the right heart If they come with the right decision and say that they know, I cannot do it. I've been trying for years to change my life. And I've been trying and I can't do it. I can't change it. And he will say, son, daughter, I knew you couldn't change it. And they can't. I couldn't change my life. But I did allow the Lord to take it and change it for me. And yes, and right at first, it was kind of hard because he was putting other things on me that I needed to do, like study his Bible, study the Word. I mean, I was in there reading the Bible, and I just read. I didn't understand none of it. Hey, I'm glad I lost the day before. I didn't know anything about nothing. I didn't know anything about the cross. I didn't know anything about the virgin birth. I didn't know about anything about the cross. I didn't know why he bled and died for me like the individual told me the night before. I didn't understand none of that. And how could he love someone as far as I am? I couldn't understand that either. But see, I got in his word and just kept on reading. And when he come to find out, he saw where I was going to read the Bible and I was going to read his word, then he would speak to me. He would speak to me through his word. And I hate to say that, I mean really, this is one thing that I really hate to say. And I hate to realize it myself. But there are a whole lot of people. There are more people like me that they went for years. I mean, so-called Christian man. And some's been in church a long time. Some's still in church today. But they don't have God to speak to them. And it's not the one way God's going to speak to them. That's through his word. That's the reason he wrote. That's the reason he allowed them 40 or 50 or 60 different men right there to pin the word down for us that we could read it to where the Lord could speak to us. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you one thing. I love it when God just says, Donnie, says, I'm with you. I'm going to be with you tomorrow. I mean, it don't have to be nothing fancy or nothing dynamic, anything. He just speaks to me and says, I'm here. I'm here for you. Hallelujah. Ain't he always been there for you? Yes. He's always been there for me. And the thing about it is, he is there for the people that has never heard from him, that has never picked up a Bible and never have read it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the teacher. You know, God the Father, he's a great physician, right? And Jesus Christ, I believe that he is the great one that can take care of us and help us as we go along each and every day. I cannot do anything without him, without me being in the palm of his hand. And I'm so thankful for that palm. I sure am thankful that he's got two palms and he's got both of them open. He's got both of them to grab a hold to me. So when I fall, I'm not going to hit that floor right there. When I fall, when I hit that floor, it's going to be just like a cushion there, a mattress there. It's not going to hurt me. It's not going to bother me.
I mean, y'all know, you know yourself that how many times I failed in the church. You know the only thing that hurt me? You really want to know what hurt me? My pride. That's what hurt. The embarrassment of that I failed. It didn't hurt my body. Why? God had complete control over that. God had complete control over your body. He has complete control over the body. We have somebody here tonight that I believe, and I know that I can testify to the fact that he does his divine healing. Without the doctors, without the surgery, without the nurses and all that. But I do thank God for each and every one of them that they perform what God has touched them about.
Revival. That's what revival is all about. It's just in knowing whom we serve. And knowing in whom we love. And I love my Savior tonight more than anything in this world. I love Him more than I don't want to disappoint you, Shelby, but I love Him more than I do you. I love Him more than I do my daughter. I love Him more than I do my mother. Why? Because He died on Calvary's cross. And He died on the cross. We need to let our family. If we can't go to speak to our family, if we can't talk to our family about the Lord, how can anybody expect for us to go out there and talk to someone real tonight? And I know it's tough. It's hard. That's one of the hardest things that we have to do is talk to our family. You know why? Because see, our family knows all about us before we ever got saved. And if they don't, if our family has come up after we got saved, somewhere down the line, they're going to hear about something maybe you done or I done before I got saved. Can you remember that? I'd have never thought he'd have been a preacher. I'd have never thought he'd even been an individual to talk like he talked. All the other times I just heard filth come out of his mouth. I said, yeah, but no filth comes out of it now. I says, if it does, it's going to be Jesus Christ. If you want to call that filth, that's fine. But that's not going to be it. Because He loved me, and He loves you also. Our Father, we want to thank You, Lord, tonight, Father. Lord, we just ask, Father, that You'll just touch each and every one of us, Father. And Lord, as we go our separate ways tonight, Father, go to our home, Father, we just ask God that You'll just be with each and every one of us. Lord, the next day, tomorrow, and the days ahead, Father. And Father God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that You will just bring people in this coming Lord's Day. And Father, that they may be here Sunday, God. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that maybe we're just looking for somebody to come in and somebody to get saved. Father, I just need somebody to come in and get saved. They want to just come in and get saved and start serving You, Father. And Lord, we just thank You for these people tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that You'll just go with us for the next few minutes, Father, into the business meeting, Father. We pray, Lord, that You'll just have Your hands in it. And Father, be done according to Thy precious and holy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, Sister Nancy.